So Transfiguration Sunday is always the Sunday just before Lent begins on Ash Wednesday. Lent is this 40 days of intentionality where we reflect on our own spiritual relationship with God and the world. But if you count, those of you who do that counting sort of thing, between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday, you're going to go, there's more than 40 days. Someone's not telling me the right thing. Well, the thing about a Sunday is it's a little Easter. Every time we come to worship on Sunday mornings, we come to that high mountain place, to that place to be in holy worship with God. So every Sunday is an Easter, a little Easter, until we get to Easter on, of all days, April 1st this year. So what I suggest is as you're looking at your Lenten practices, you can have a little Easter each Sunday and a break from whatever you're fasting from. But I will recommend that if you fast caffeine or if you fast sugar, do not break your fast on Easter Sunday, because on Easter Monday, you will be once again in withdrawal. So consider carefully when you're fasting what you're fasting from. And when you celebrate Easter on each Sunday, if you can break that fast or not. And it doesn't have to be food. We always think when we come to a fast that we have to fast food. But you can fast things like the time you spend on social media, the time your screen time. Maybe you have an addiction to a particular series on Netflix, so you fast it for the 40 days. Maybe you have some words that you need to stop saying, so you can fast from saying them. Maybe, you pick the thing that separates you from God and fast. And then on Easter, we'll celebrate that Christ is risen and has helped us overcome those things which separate us from God. So that's the matter of what we're here about this morning, is Transfiguration Sunday, that time when Peter, James, and John came up the high mountain with Jesus and saw this miraculous thing. They were set apart in a high holy place. And then in the midst of it all, this good news of a time set apart for Jesus, Peter gets some bad press once again, because as they were up there, let's recap where we are, because I've gotten you kind of lost. So take a deep breath. We're there on the high holy mountain with Peter, James, and John. And Jesus is there, and he's transfigured into dazzling white. And Moses and Elijah appear before him. And then Peter speaks, and he says, can we stay here? I want to stay here. Wouldn't you want to stay there? Wouldn't you want to stay there with Peter, with Moses and Elijah and Jesus? Wouldn't you want to stay and just soak that day up? But when he says that, we have to recognize the context out of which that desire not to leave the mountains about. Because remember, the reading began 6 days later. What happened 6 days previously? 6 days previously, Jesus asked them, who am I? And Peter went, you're the Messiah. And he got all excited. And Jesus said, you're right. That's who I am. And then Jesus goes on to tell them what that means, that the Messiah is going to be crucified, dead, and buried, and, killed. And Peter's response is, oh, no, Jesus, you can't do that. And Peter goes from being, yay, Peter, to get behind me, Satan. Peter gets a lot of bad press. So Peter has in his head, for 6 days, he's been having to deal with Jesus is going to die. Our Messiah is going to die. What does that mean? He probably hasn't even gotten to the risen from the dead part. He's just focused on our Messiah is going to die. And then he gets up to this mountain and he sees Jesus fully glorified. He's going, I don't want to leave this place. Because if I leave this place, Jesus is going to die. I don't want to go. I want to stay here. It says they were terrified. Do you think they would build a place if they were terrified of Moses and Elijah and Jesus? No, They were terrified of going down that mountain. They were terrified about going back into the world when Jesus would be crucified. So, what do? They get a moment. They get this beautiful moment when God's Spirit hovers over all of them. And they get to hear God's words. "This is my son. Listen to him." And those of us who've been with Leo, we realize that that must have been one of those deep breathing 5-minute moments when they woke up and saw just Jesus standing there. What did they experience? Well, they experienced that moment of being in God's presence. Have you ever had those moments? Have you ever had those moments when they're sort of like the fog from yesterday? How many of you were in that fog yesterday? Yeah. We were with a bunch of youth in that fog yesterday. But the fog just kind of hovers over you. And, you know, if you're walking in it, you can feel the moisture of the fog on your skin. And it's touching you. Well, the Greek word used for the Spirit overshadowed them is the same Greek word that was used for the Spirit overshadowing Mary. So the Spirit, they were in the midst of the Holy Spirit and probably felt that Spirit upon their flesh the way we feel fog upon our own. So they must have just breathed it in and opened their eyes to see only Jesus before them. And then what Jesus says to them is, "Shh, don't tell anyone." Have you ever had those moments when all you want to do is tell somebody? When they got down from that mountain, don't you think what they wanted to do was say, "Oh, you won't believe what happened up on the mountain. We were with Jesus and we saw Elijah and Moses and they were talking. We couldn't hear because we were too far away, but we couldn't get there. And boy, we wanted to get there. We wanted to know. But then they disappeared and we heard God speak." Wouldn't that be what you would want to do when you got down off that mountain? But Jesus says to them, "Do not speak until I am resurrected." So I want us to think about what that meant. Do not speak until I am resurrected. The story of their experience up on that mountain was only half the story. It would not have full impact until everything Jesus said would happen, happened. And once it had happened, once he had been crucified on the cross, was buried, resurrected, then they could say, "I had this mountaintop experience. I know who Jesus is." And then they could begin to unpack the experience that they had. How many times when we have those really great experiences, do we tell everybody all about them, thinking we know what they meant? And then weeks later, when something else happens, we go, "Oh, that's what it really meant." The Spirit, Jesus, through the Spirit, asked them to be silent, not because it's a big secret. It's because what happened on that mountain has its validity in the cross and the resurrection. And people won't believe their story of the mountain until the cross has happened. But you see, we are people of the resurrection. We are people who can stand in the wonder, in the glory, in the knowledge that Christ came on earth, died for our sins, and rose again. We are people who understand what happened up on that mountain, that Moses, who had law because God gave us law because God loved us, that Elijah was there because Elijah was the prophet that was proclaiming God's love for us and God's desire for us to be back in relationship with us. And because Jesus was there, God with us, God's love. When we're up in those high holy moments, those are moments when the love of God touches us like the fog touches our skin. And the time that we gather here in worship is a time when we gather around one another. And that fog of the Holy Spirit is here in this place, that the cloud surrounds us, the cloud of witnesses that came before us, and the cloud that surrounds this table. There's a moment in the great Thanksgiving when I pray, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. So what do you think happens in that moment? God's presence becomes real here. Christ's presence becomes real in our body, in this body of bread, and in these cups of juice. However a denomination understands that to happen in the midst of that prayer, the bread and the cup are different, and we are different because we gather at this table. We gather at this high holy moment, at this high holy mountain, so that when we step into the world, we have a message to proclaim that God has come in the form of Jesus Christ and that love wins. That's the message we proclaim. And the mountaintop experiences that we have here sometimes have mistakes in them and sometimes run so smoothly we don't even notice the movement of time. But our time at the table this morning, as we gather around and kneel or stand at the altar and receive, may we take some time this morning to do it in silence. I know Bobby will be playing, but to do it in silence, maybe not to go back to our bulletins when we sit down or whisper to our loved ones when we sit down, but to allow the whole time that we are feasting at the table to be a time when God this cloud can rest upon us and we can feel the touch of the Holy Spirit.